Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. Welcome to this, another edition of Let's Talk Business with the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry. We are in season 7. I am Crystal J. Paul. Now, today we're going to be discussing breaking the cycle, addressing youth crime, economic hardship, and investor confidence in Barbados. Now, the recent escalation of gun violence and crime in Barbados, including the recent tragic shooting at Curtin's gas station, which claimed a life, has reached a critical point. These increasing incidents highlight a broader issue of social instability fueled by economic hardship, youth disconnection, and systemic inequalities. The Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI, representing the collective voice of the private sector, recognizes the urgent need to address these challenges comprehensively, aligning the private sector's efforts with government initiatives to restore public safety, ensure economic confidence, and social harmony. In this episode, the discussion will highlight the private sector's concerns about gun violence, discuss the economic implications of rising crime, including investor confidence and tourism, and present recommendations for creating a safer, more harmonious Barbados. We hope that by coming together, we can make a safer Barbados for everyone to enjoy. And we have three very distinguished gentlemen with us today. Firstly, let's welcome James Jimmy Clark, President of the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry.
Thanks, Crystal J. Thanks for having us.
Yes, sir. Lalu Vaswani, Managing Director of SatJ Enterprises.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, sir. And Andre Kaur, CEO of Amalgamated Security.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you so much, gentlemen. Now, we know that there are so many issues that can be discussed, but we definitely want to leave this program with some solutions and how we can help the private sector, given everything that is happening right now. Now, let's start off with this question of the recent escalation in gun violence and its impact on the private sector's confidence in the safety and security of conducting Barbados business in Barbados. How is this for the private sector? I'm directing this to you, Jimmy.
Okay, thanks, Crystal J. This is a serious concern to the private sector. I mean, we have businesses, most of our businesses, are especially retail and so on, are customer facing. You have customers in your premises and so on. There's interactions with all different people coming in and out. And when you have instances occurring like this, whether it is shootings, robberies, armed robberies, other crimes, in those locations, it really does shake your confidence in that these things are happening right on your doorstep or right in your own place of business. And you know, as business people, we are extremely concerned for the safety of our employees, our customers, even people who happen to be passing by and so on. And so these sort of things really make you stop and give pause to, you know, how do you operate your business? What hours? Where is your location? What security measures do you have in place? Do I need additional security guards? Do I need to move from where I am? Do I need to reduce my hours? Do I have to spend additional funds reinforcing my building, for example, or vehicles, or whatever the case may be? And so it has wide-ranging implications for the ongoing practice of a business in the island.
Certainly. Now, I would love to hear your thoughts on this, Lalu, especially given the fact that you've been in business here in Barbados for a number of years. How has the recent escalation in violence, in gun violence, impacted the private sector? You being in the private sector, how have you seen the change and the transition for businesses over the years?
Thank you. I think that it is a growing concern where the incidence of crime generally, and more so violent crime, happens with greater frequency, there could be a tendency to take it as a given as opposed to the exception. And therefore, it is a matter of great concern. And we all are accustomed in Barbados to a culture of great safety, great relaxation in our mental outlook when we move about. And that's how we would want it to continue. And so it is very important and necessary for all aspects of society, civil society, to come together to find the solutions, to stand up to what is happening in a safe way, an effective way. And I think that, as President Jimmy mentioned before, one way could be to do self-analysis, reflection on your immediate environment, on how it is you can improve your defenses and make yourself more alert. But I think at the societal level, we have to promote a greater level of cooperation with law enforcement. The law enforcement does a tremendous amount of work that is often subterranean, meaning most of what they do you don't see, although we see some. And one of the initiatives of the Chamber of Commerce is to promote our members to offer CCTV on their buildings in the city, so that the police department can have an expansive view of their areas. I mean, that's just one idea among many others that can be done. But we need to think not just of ourselves, but about the wider community. And thirdly, in the longer term, what we are witnessing is the lack of practicing of values. They're all values because we are all born with values ingrained in us. But it's a lack of practicing of values such as truth, right action, peace, love, nonviolence. That is what we are seeing the result of by not seeing these values blossoming from the human enterprise, the blossoming of humans. And that is a longer term solution, but nonetheless very important if we are to stop the cycle.
Yes. Well, Jimmy, you touched on security and so did Lalu Vaswani. Now, Andre, over to you. Even as it relates to security, in your capacity as CEO of Amalgamated Security, how is rising gun violence directly affecting businesses in Barbados? How have you seen it?
Well, we do have gotten the feedback from persons that the impact is reaching. It is not as worse as it could have been compared to other islands and what they're experiencing. But we have to deal with what we have in front of us. And what we have is a change in the general macroeconomic environment where persons are looking for a quicker fix. They have access to weapons that they never had as easy as access to before. And therefore, they're opting for the easier way to make money. And as the previous speaker spoke on, the value systems are not necessarily there as they used to. So when you put lack of values, you add increasing access to firearms and weapons. And sometimes as business persons, we don't always evolve how we do business with the general shift in society. You now have vacancies and opportunities presenting themselves to persons who have nothing but time. Time to observe your habits, time to see what time you close, how you operate, and then jump on those opportunities, which you'll find happening in these scenarios. And these persons who are carrying out these acts, you find, are not just robbing to leave or robbing, they are actively shooting, as in the last scenario, especially if they are challenged. And these are all things we have to take and factor for, which is not a norm, but it's something we're going to have to adapt to, get used to, and put the proper systems in place individually and collectively as business persons to address that, along with obviously the government and other supporting elements.
Yes, indeed. Now, I'm glad you mentioned the macroeconomic aspect because I'm going to head now to Jimmy. Even as we look at this, how significant is the risk of reduced foreign direct investment? And what are the broader implications for the local economy if crime and gun violence continue to escalate?
Okay, so somebody looking for foreign direct investment, I mean, clearly they're looking for economic opportunities in different countries, say around the world, and it depends very greatly what the benefit of the opportunity is compared to the risk on the ground. And clearly, it would hate to think that Barbados would be viewed as a high risk environment, as some other countries are. So this is one of the risks that we could get if we head in that direction and Barbados becomes perceived as more and more risky. I think that really doesn't bode well for us. I think one of the things Barbados has really had going for it, as Lalu has said, was the openness of our society, the ability to go almost anywhere at any time, whether it's to get a bite to eat or go for a walk or go for a swim. Or engage, you can be farming, gardening, shopping, anything like that, without having to worry too much about, not that you wouldn't be cognizant of your surroundings, but not having to worry too much about being robbed at gunpoint or a knife point or something like that. So the increase, no, this happens in other large jurisdictions as well. This is unfortunately a bit of the world that we live in. But the real question is, do we really want that here? And because it can have significant impact, to your second question, what implications for the local economy? So you can have things like, as I said before, people having to spend more money on security, and whether that is armed security, physical security, so buildings, fences. I mean, I've seen in other countries the type of I would call them fortifications that people have to do to put around their business place, so that they can continue to carry on their business. I would hate to see that in Barbados. And it also can impact people's confidence in going out. So you may say, well, we're talking about a 24/7 economy, but if people think that after 6 o'clock in the evening it's not safe to go out, that has implications for our productivity and even availability for social gatherings and all the rest of it. So, and not being doom and gloomy, but if you carry this down its potential pathways, these are the types of things that can happen. I mean, you can look around in other countries of the world where this type of thing is rife and see what it's like there. A couple of years ago, I was in another Caribbean country and we were going down a street, and I was told quite plain and straight, they said, we can do this during the day, but if we did this at night, we would be shot at. And like, so I was just like, oh my goodness. And it looked like any other normal street. So, I really, really, really hate Barbados to get to that stage. And I think we really have to look at this as Lalu. And Andrew said, really very holistically, and put all of our heads together and how we're going to tackle this issue.
Yes, certainly. Would any of you other gentlemen like to respond to that?
Yeah, I'd just like to add that the other point I want to make is something that the Chamber has also been promoting, is how to promote digital banking for the micro and small business sector so that it would enhance their opportunity to grow their businesses. How often have we seen people walk to purchase things and they don't walk with the same amount of cash as they would perhaps previously before credit cards were available? And you can't, but because the vendors themselves do not have the facility to do digital banking. And I think this is a big opportunity for the banking sector, which we know is extremely successful, to make it possible for all micro and small businesses to come on board with digital banking and help them to grow their businesses so that, if they are more successful, you have less people seeking to be distracted to do things the wrong way. So I think that would be another area that we can collectively work on.
Okay, thank you, Andre.
Yes, agreeing with the last presenter as well. Digitizing cash or how you carry out the transactions definitely is a step in a positive direction. One of the issues we find as a security company is that while a lot of businesses will use our services to move cash on their behalf, a lot of businesses still practice going to the Dropbox themselves at night. And whilst, knock on wood, there's not been too many scenarios of persons being robbed, but it will eventually become a target because people will go for what they see as easy cash. Because when they come to rob, they're looking for cash. With less cash available or with cash being moved on a frequent basis by providers like ourselves, it limits the opportunity to make yourself a target. Because, for example, in the case of our cash in transit business, once the money is collected, it's secured. And our men are trained and insure and the cash is insured as well to the final destination. But still many persons you'll still see the bank lines queued up with persons making deposits. You'll still see persons going to the night deposit at night to drop off cash. So all of these things are things we can do to take away the incentive from those persons with ill intent to say, hey, there's an opportunity here, because all they're looking for is opportunity. And if all and we can only provide and remove that temptation from them by, again, security officers, cameras, having limited cash available, then the next thing they may look at is stock. And those are systems we can put in place to start to prevent that as well. So again, it's holistic. It's something that we all have to buy into, because it doesn't make sense one shop or one business does it and the rest don't, because you're just shifting the focus from one company to the next. We can do it holistically together as a chamber, as a group of companies, as a country, and limit the opportunities of persons who have ill intent as to how easy they can get and carry out these acts successfully.
Yes. Well, you're talking about doing it holistically and doing it together. Well, from your vantage point, then, how can the government and private sector work together? How can this happen to reassure current and potential investors about safety and stability?
Well, it starts by the act, by doing it. Again, through the efforts of the Chamber of Commerce, through the banking society, to make it easy for businesses to digitize, to break the culture of having large amounts of cash. Because what these are small steps, which, when done holistically, gets a bigger message out. So therefore, when persons look at the availability of doing business in Barbados, yes, looking at risk and crime, but also it's in, they will take interest in knowing that they can do business, that we're forward-thinking, that we're a forward-thinking country, and digitizing how we do business. I always give the example of going to Kenya, and they have an M-Pesa system where even the regular person, the pensioner, the child, they're going. They have a smartphone. They're going to buy a banana in under off the side of the road. They're going to the store to buy a biscuit, and no one really uses cash. It's all electronic, right? And those are things which I believe can be carried over, taking best practices from other societies, implementing them here, moving the country forward in a positive manner, which is seen as positive for potential investors, and putting these systems in place where they know that, okay, Barbados is still remains a safe place to do business, an open place to do business, and commendations as well to the police, because as I think one of the presenters spoke earlier, they do make good impact. They do solve a lot of crimes. A lot of the work that they do is not seen or highlighted necessarily in the papers, but they do work very hard. And if you look at their ratio of solving crime is actually pretty high. Unfortunately, these things happen after the fact, after the crime has been committed, after the damage has been done. So it is, if we can work with the police, put the systems in place to prevent and have the preventative systems, engage in the community policing, even from the courts, the element of the courts and how long it takes for a prosecution to occur. You know, it is disheartening for a business person to go to court 10 times. and the case is still not resolved. They're losing productivity, they're losing the value of their time and what they can invest in their business. So there's a lot of things that have to come together, that we have to work together to make it happen, to start to see the positive end results.
Very good, thank you. Now, even as we look at job creation, because rising crime inevitably affects job creation. So, Jimmy, can you discuss with us how these dynamics can impact key sectors?
So job creation, well, you rely on businesses' creation. You rely on entrepreneurship. You rely on business growth. These are the types of things. And also the influx or the need to use newer technologies and so on. All of these things affects job creation. So on one hand, so like Andrea said, you could have more job creation in terms heading towards the IT sector in terms of mobile payments and so on and so forth. And that grows in response to these events happening in society whereby people don't wish to carry cash anymore. So you can have growth there. The flip side of it is you could have job losses because some business may say, you know what, I really can't do this in a physical premises anymore. I'm not willing to take the risk. And so therefore I'm moving to fully online system with a different way of doing things in distribution, and they may not need all the people. So, this is a serious thing. So what we really want to focus on is what job creation can we, given this environment, what can we create in a positive manner to help address the situation and also to take us in potentially new and positive directions. So in other words, you're trying to generate a positive society, not a negative society. And where people can see good opportunities. I recently saw a list of projected jobs, and this is to do with AI, from the World Economic Forum by 2030. And nearly all of the ones projected by 2030 had some kind of IT background. And this presents huge opportunities for people, for young people especially, or even career changers, to enter an entirely new field, something for the future that can take them not only in Barbados but around the world. As Andrew said, in Africa, the use of the online payment systems and so on that they use throughout their countries and are absolutely game changing, and certainly make it easier for people to transact business and be more safe during those transactions.
Thank you very much. Now, we've gotten quite a bit of food for thought. And we have mentioned some solutions, but in these last few minutes, we want to zero in on some of the proposed solutions for this cycle. Now, I'm going to head to you, Lalu. How can mentorship programs, I mean, you've been in this business for a number of years, you've seen the impact on the youth. Now, how can mentorship programs or youth-focused initiatives help divert young people from crime?
I think that's a very, very important area. As you know, we have a very aging population, which means we have more people retiring than we are getting younger ones to come in. And the persons who are retiring should not just enjoy their retirement, but include in their process of retiring, giving back to their church groups or social organizations where they can mentor young people with their wisdom. Mm-hmm. The younger people have knowledge, but they don't yet have the full contingent of wisdom. And that is what mentorship can bring. And very often, some of the families are not with both parents. And so the mentorship has somebody to look up to. It can be a female, it can be a male. But that nurturing process can help to cement and solidify the confidence in young people that they can rely on themselves. And when they are making errors, not intentional mistake, but errors where they can be gradually corrected and get back on stream. So I think that's a very, very important part. Mm-hmm. I think there used to be something called a junior chamber of commerce many years ago. And youth and employment services, different things like that. But I think that we need to redouble our efforts to encourage persons who are retiring or those who are still in the workplace to give of themselves to help mentor youth. It's a very important area.
Excellent. Thank you. Now, in the last couple minutes or so we have, I'm going to ask each of you to, you know, perhaps suggest any successful model. It was mentioned a time or two in the program, but if you can reiterate it, that would be great. Any successful model from other Caribbean nations or beyond that Barbados can adopt to address crime? I'm going to begin with you, Andre. You're in the security business.
Unfortunately, in the Caribbean, there are not too many wonderful examples, as even the countries that were considered to be extremely safe are facing the challenges that Barbados is now facing. Look at places like St. Lucia and others that are on the rise as we speak. But I think looking at the Scandinavian countries and how they have handled everything from prison reform to how they deal with education, and that transition into working life and how the culture is set up, is so that we can look at to take the best practices from. And we can look around the world and wherever we may be, one example from Africa, one example from Scandinavia, one example from Canada. But we have to look at what works there. Is it applicable to the Caribbean environment, and pull the best practices wherever we can find them? Because we may not get everything from one particular country, but look at the best practices, what is applicable here, what will work in this environment, and implement them.
Thank you very much. Lalu?
Yes, I think...
Any successful model, yes.
I would say definitely yes. I think that really what it boils down to is asking, do we want change or transformation? Change can be more short-term. Transformation is more likely to be lifelong. And we've spoken about the example of Africa, and I'd like to give you an example of a place called NDOLA, Nindola, in Zambia, where a school was formed, and the only students it could get were the ones who didn't qualify to pass the 11 plus dropouts. And you know, when children drop out, they get into bad habits. But because that school incorporated human values in their curriculum, they eventually transformed the lives of those students, and they became a miracle school because nobody could believe that children who were misbehaving themselves in such an extreme way could become 100% passes in their exams. And not just about academic, but they became very involved in the social. They never allowed anybody to clean the premises. They cleaned the premises. They gave help to the society by offering food as all part of studying in a school. So they became broadened in their character. And so that model, it's called the Miracle School of Zambia, if you want to look it up. Mm-hmm. And it is basically either change or transformation. Because education is not just for making a living, but education is for life. So I believe that those examples from Africa, which we are very closely aligned with, we should view, because it can happen. It has happened in Barbados before, but we need to consistently implement integrating values in our everyday lives.
Thank you very much. And Jimmy, we just have a short amount of time. If you could just go ahead and respond.
Sure. I think we need to, I agree with Lalu 100% on the education, and the earlier the better. And also mentorship, very, very important. Education, you know, has to be pertinent, has to be interesting to the students. And the ones that maybe do not fit into the normal mold, as Lalu says, for whatever reason, can't be allowed to just drift along or drop out. The assessments have to be made. An example of a successful program, I will say right here in Barbados, the BVTB, the Vocational Training Board, offering their apprenticeship scheme to young people to help them get into the world of work. It helps them get into to businesses where they can be trained. They can learn many different in many different fields. They work for 2 or 3 years. They have the opportunity for education and everything. So it allows them then to interact with in a business place with customers, with colleagues, with workmates, learn new skills and really build confidence and so on. So when they come out, they may continue on where they're working, they may go into something else, but at least it is a structured program for helping them make that transition between leaving school and actually getting into work. And you know, I would say the rhetoric around vocations and so on, that needs to be changed. It needs to be, you know, vocational work is every bit as good as any other kind of work that is done. So I know that it tends to be a stigma, you know, you head for a more corporate environment, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with any of the vocational trades, and they're very, very useful to all of us. And in fact, people do very, very well in them. So I think that with all of these things that we've talked about, and but it's the common thread I see is this contact, this transfer of knowledge, as was said earlier, the mentorship, and also to make things fun and interesting, and really try to engage people's attention. The phone and the social media and all of that is designed to give your attention, but unfortunately, it really doesn't necessarily add a lot of value to what you're doing, you know, rather than your actual chosen profession or vocation or whatever that may be.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen, for your contribution today for today's edition of Let's Talk Business. James Jimmy Clark, President of the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Lalu Vaswani, Managing Director of Satjay Enterprises, and Andre Kaur, CEO of Amalgamated Security. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. As we discussed breaking the cycle, addressing youth crime, economic hardship, and investor confidence in Barbados. I am Crystal J. Paul. Until the next edition, you take care. That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.